My name is Ian Levenstein. You're listening to Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, your home for men's and women's Brooklyn College basketball.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org and, of course, podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. This is episode 11, episode noob, episode 111111 of Geek Speak, and we have a whole bunch of great geek talk to talk about today, including problems with the Xbox 360 right out of the box, major issues already occurring with the Microsoft Xbox 360 only a week after its launch, and I will certainly get into that. Also, the official release of Firefox 1.5 has happened, and I'm going to give you a simple tweak of Firefox 1.5 that will make your browsing experience even faster. I've got a nice viewer email to get into where a listener asked for information on Infinite Crisis, and I will certainly get into that because I love answering questions. That's what I do best. And also, Hillary Clinton to introduce Family Entertainment Protection Act and what that might do to your gaming experience in the future. And I'm certainly going to get into that as this episode goes on. Now, this is episode 11 of Geek Speak. For those of you who just listened on the stream at brooklyncollegeradio.org, you're probably wondering what happened to episode 10. Well, episode 10 I recorded here at the Brooklyn College Studios this past Wednesday, as opposed to the usual Thursday, because obviously last Thursday was Thanksgiving, and I hope every single one of my listeners had a lovely Thanksgiving. I certainly did. Plenty of delicious food catered in. Oh yeah, turkey, potatoes, the works. Still tasting it today even, which is kind of strange. Anyway, yeah, episode 10 was a special edition of Geek Speak, which was my first showcase spotlight, which branched into one topic of geekdom individually. And that, of course, is comic books. Now, I had a couple of guests on that as well. We talked about relationships in comic books, and it was a whole lot of fun. And I certainly want to thank Brian Diemer of the Comic Geek Speak podcast for joining me, as well as Toby Cook from Seattle, and Mario Moscar. And congratulations on your engagement, Mario. That was a great thing to tune into on Comic Geek Speak the other day, and I'm glad to see things worked out for you. So once again, you can download episode 10 at speakgeekspeak.com. It will not be on the air here at Brooklyn College Radio because I went way over my 1 hour time limit. But anyway, let's get into it here before I run out of time here. Start things off with information on the Xbox 360. Now, I'm sure a lot of people, as soon as it hit stores, ran out and got themselves Xbox 360s because, you know, it's a new gaming phenomenon. Brand new generation of gaming. Brand new generation to spend your hard-earned dollars on. Now, the Xbox 360, it just launched, and it is already going for thousands of dollars on eBay. As I look at a frugal search for the Xbox 360, there are Xbox 360s going for as much money as $1,800. You heard that right, $1,800. I click on this right now because this seems to be the one that's the largest priced Xbox 360 right now. And there's plenty of others that are in the $600 range and the $400 range, but this is the only one that's $1,800. And this system is being sold on eBay. I'm not going to advertise the link because honestly, that's crazy. This one is being sold with the Xbox 360 core system, the memory unit, an extra controller, a headset, a play and charge kit, and three games, Call of Duty 2, Madden 2K6, and Need for Speed Most Wanted. So, you know, I mean, I could expect that to go for maybe, a little bit of money, like maybe $700 at most, but $1,800 for a unit like that is absolutely crazy. I see on here, for $99.95, you can pre-order an Xbox 360 bundle. Not even pay for it, pre-order an Xbox 360. The 20-gigabyte hard drive, selling for $95 to $143. And, I mean, trust me, if you do a frugal search for Xbox 360, you'll see a lot more stuff pop up. And this is absolutely insane, to say the least. But there are already problems with this Xbox 360 system. And the main one that I'm going to get into today is that a lot of Xboxes, as soon as they're out of the box, have been freezing up on gamers. No tweaking involved whatsoever. No changes involved. You take it out of the box and it just starts freezing on you, no matter what game you put in there. There have been more complaints dialed in to stores such as Sears and GameStop and EB about this than any other system out there. And this is just a sign to me that Microsoft rushed this system. They wanted to get the Xbox 360 out there before any of the other systems. And this is hitting 6 months before PlayStation 3. They wanted to get out there so that it would be in everybody's minds. So that everybody would think that next generation consoles are synonymous with Microsoft. They don't even want you to think of a PlayStation 3 right now. And a lot of people aren't. A lot of people went out there and bought themselves Xbox 360s. But as I mentioned in an earlier podcast, plenty of people went out there and bought Dreamcasts also, and that didn't really turn out too well for them, that did it. Mind you, the Dreamcast is still fun to play, even though I never got used to the controller, but I also mentioned that once upon a time. But, to say the least, it's a problem. And it will be a problem for a long time to come. These people spent their hard-earned money on the Xbox, and now they first have to return it, because Microsoft could not put out a decent product. Now, again, as I mentioned on a previous podcast, they're already in the works of making a brand new interface for the Xbox because they were afraid of this happening. They were afraid that their product would not be nearly as good as they wanted it to be. So they're already working on an improvement of sorts, a next generation of the next generation. There are rumors spreading around that there actually will not be Xboxes available in stores until February. February. Imagine that. Today is December 1st. January, February. 2 more months. You might not be able to get your Xbox 360 until then. Now, I can understand it selling out. And I can understand the demand being as high as it is for it. But 2 months, it might not even be longer than that. It might even be 3 months for all we know. That is just insane. But that's the way this country works. When they find something they want, oh, they get it. And it's not even just here. It's in Japan as well. The Xbox 360 has been much more popular in Japan than the Xbox ever was. Because, like I said, it's the next generation. Everybody automatically thinks next generation is going to equal improvement. But what about all those games that are not compatible? And what about those systems that are crashing on startup? Microsoft, you got a problem on your hands, and you got a big one. Now, I myself did not buy an Xbox 360. One, because I don't have the money for it, obviously. And two, because I'm more of a PlayStation guy, and have been since PlayStation 2. I'd much rather wait for the PlayStation 3, and a lot of people were thinking that. But those people who did not think that and went out and bought themselves an Xbox might be second-guessing. Hell, there are plenty of people that as soon as they bought their Xbox, put it up on eBay because they knew that they'd be able to get it for a lot more. They knew that there'd be suckers out there that would pay thousands of dollars for it, and I just proved you right by looking on eBay and seeing that there were Xboxes selling for at least $300 more than the going rate. Microsoft is good at monopolies. That's what they do. And they're monopolizing, or at least they're trying to monopolize, the game industry. Because right now, the only choice out there is Xbox 360 for next-generation consoles. It'll change in 6 months, sure. But right now, for Christmas, every little boy and girl out there who loves gaming is going to be expecting an Xbox 360. If they don't get it, they're going to cry. And do you really want to see crying children? Well, if you're weird, then maybe you do, but I sort of don't like that. Anyway, it's the new phenomenon. It's the brand new phenomenon. When PlayStation 3 comes out, that'll be the new phenomenon. When Nintendo Revolution comes out, that'll be the new phenomenon. And then there'll actually be some competition here. Now, back in the day, PlayStation 2 and Xbox and GameCube sort of launched around the same time. And Dreamcast was before it. So this is sort of the way it usually happens. There's usually at least one system that gets rushed out there that has the capability of success, that has a couple of good games, not too many, and they try to make a name for themselves. That is what Xbox is right now. Because there's only about maybe three good games out there right now. Now, what's the deal with Madden 2006 actually missing some of its modes in the Xbox 360? Number one, no challenges on the Xbox 360. If your feet are in bounds and you get knocked out and they call it out of bounds, you can't challenge it because in the Xbox 360, there's no challenge option. Number two, all the mini games, all the mini camps are not in it. Now, is that usually what you think about a console, a next generation console, that you're going to have less modes than its predecessor? I don't think so. You want more. The new Perfect Dark came out. Everybody's ranting and raving about that. The first NBA game came out for it. A lot of people are not liking that so far. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. And the Xbox has a lot to prove. And I mean a lot. Will they take the time and the effort to actually fix what's broken? It's a good question. Because, well, hey, you have Microsoft XP at home? You have Microsoft 2000? Do you have all those adware and spyware programs on your computer in order to stop your system from getting invaded? Do you? Huh? Well, then that means that Microsoft put out a broken product, folks. And I think they might have done it again. For now. Will it actually fix itself? Like I said, we'll just have to wait and see. But for now, you're certainly not going to see me buying an Xbox 360. And I would recommend waiting a couple months. Because maybe by then, they'll get it right. Maybe by then, they'll put out a product that matters. So the other big news happening around the geek world this week is the release of Firefox. The brand new build of Firefox. 1.5 is officially hit. Now, I covered RC1 on this lovely, lovely program back in the day, which was about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they found a couple bugs and they re-released it because that's what you do when you find bugs. It's a smart thing to do. Now, Firefox 1.5, for those of you who have Firefox 1.5 RC3, you have Firefox 1.5. That's the official release of Firefox 1.5. They found no problems with it, so they decided to just release it as is, and that is now the official 1.5. All they did is rename the installer. That's it. So, if you're listening to this podcast and you have Firefox 1.5 RC3 on your computer, keep it. It's the official. But there's one feature that is not selected in Firefox 1.5. And a couple people, while looking through their about config, and that's the best thing about Firefox. The about config is such a fun and easy way to tweak your Firefox. To give you extra strings to add to the code. that make your browsing experience much more enjoyable. And one of these, it's easy to find. It's already included in Firefox. It's just not selected. And you can find this, as I said, in your about config. That's about colon config. Just go to the address bar on Firefox and type it in. And what you're going to do next is go down to browser.sessionhistory.max_total_viewers. That's browser session history max total viewers. And you're going to see the status is user set. Excuse me. At the time, it's going to be status is default. The type is going to be integer, and the value is going to be -1, because that's the set value, which means it's off, basically. It's not actually being activated. Now, what this session history max total viewers does is, let's say you go to a website offhand, I'll say, for example, the Fourth Rail, which is one of my favorite comic review sites, and you go to slash.next, and you type in slash.next, you know slash.next is heavy on the images. But then you realize, oh, wait a second, I forgot to do something on the Fourth Rail, and you want to go back to it. And you open up slash.next in the same tab. Well, with the addition of browser.sessionhistory.max_total_viewers, you'll be able to go back so much easier. Because it's gonna keep an exact copy of that page ready to go. You're just going to go... You're going to click the back button, and you're going to be back. That's it. No extra loading times, no nothing. It's pretty much what happens in the Opera browser, for those of you who used it. With Opera, when you press the back button, you're back. End of story. There's no addition. Nothing else needs to be done. So what you're going to do in order to activate this is double-click anywhere on the browser session history max total viewers. When you double-click, a box is going to come up, and it's going to say enter integer value. Now, the integer value is going to be set to -1 to start things off, which means it's off. And you have a choice between setting it anywhere between -1 and 5. -1 obviously being off, as I said, and 5 being the max amount of total viewers that you can set. I set my browser to 5. You know, obviously, if you folks want to set it to 3 or 4 or something like that, that's up to you. But the fastest browsing will be done with a value set to 5. And then close out of your Mozilla, of your Firefox, close it out completely, and then restart. Not your computer, your browser, because obviously you don't really need to restart your computer. And when you restart it, this feature should be activated. And you'll be browsing faster than you have ever, ever browsed before. And that's one of the cool features here with Mozilla. And Mozilla's going places right now. Because Mozilla Firefox used to be found at Mozilla.org. And now you can see that it's actually migrated over to Mozilla.com. And it's now split from the original Mozilla Foundation. Completely redesigned webpage. Actually looks a little bit like Dig.com. Because I believe it was designed by the same people. But it's now known as the Mozilla Corporation, after being the Mozilla Foundation for a long time. This is a subsect of Mozilla. And these are the guys that are going to be taking control of Firefox now. Firefox 1.5, beautifully designed new webpage. The extensions page is completely redesigned as well. So if you click on Firefox add-ons, you'll get to a brand new redesigned Firefox website, which is very, very easy to navigate. And it even features extensions. You can click on extensions, plugins, search engines, themes very easily in the tabs, and much easier to navigate than the original Firefox add-ons were. The update works beautifully for extensions and for the web browser, and everything looks nice and streamlined. All the problems that were in it have been pretty much solved. Most of the extensions have updated themselves to work with Firefox 1.5. And again, if you have an extension that does not work, then I just recommend getting Nightly Tester Tools, as I mentioned before, and that'll upgrade it to exactly where you need it to be. Now, another one of the things that I found while searching Mozilla the Mozilla website for extensions, I like to make my tab browsing a little easier. And I have the tab browser preferences, and I still do, which gives you an extra little extension tab for tab browsing in your preferences. But I also had FLST, which is Focus Last Selected Tab, and tab clicking options, which allowed you to set a double click to open up a tab. And also, when you click on a tab, it'll go back to your previously viewed tab, which is very easy. But, you know, it was a little much of a hassle to have to wait for all those to be upgraded and all that. Well, I found an extension which does all of that and more called Tab Mix Plus. You can find that at the Mozilla website. And what it does, it does all of the things that the previous extensions that I mentioned do. Tab clicking options and FLST. It'll allow you to actually physically move. And this is also a feature in Firefox 1.5. So it's not just to this extension. But now you can physically move your tabs and reposition them along the tab bar, which is a lot of... It's very helpful because if you open up a tab on the very end and you want it to be at the front, now you can do it. Just select the tab and drag. Simple as that. Select the tab and drag. Never been easier before. Now, inside the tab clicking options, you can actually set it to open certain files in a certain tab. That's a little annoying to me, so I ended up deselecting that. You can also set which tab gets focused when you close a tab. And best of all, it actually has a list of what tabs you've recently closed, so that if you accidentally close out of a tab, you can right away reopen it and go back to your web page, which is a lot of help. And it's a lot of fun, too, because I love being able to just quickly go back to my sites. And this certainly allows that to happen. So, Firefox 1.5 is a major improvement over Firefox 1.07. Major, major improvement. And for those of you who were testing it out in the beta, it's out for real now. I highly recommend updating yourself so that you can get this brand new build. Because trust me, it is absolutely worth it. Give it a shot. Trust me, you'll like it. It's listener email time. Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it when you folks send me those emails because I get to know exactly what you think. And, well, that's fun. I recently got an email from Travis from Boston, Massachusetts. And he asked me about Infinite Crisis because in my most recent podcast about comics, I mentioned Infinite Crisis from time to time. And Infinite Crisis, as once again, for those of you who don't know, the major event going on in DC Comics right now. And Travis asked, what comics does he need in order to get started with Infinite Crisis? He says he's kind of a noob to comics. Newbie, for those of you who don't know the internet talk. And I thought this would be a good start. And he thanks me for listening, and I certainly thank him for listening back. So, there are plenty of places that have gotten into this before, and I'll be more than happy to get into it as well. Infinite Crisis is, in many ways, a direct sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, for those of you who have not read Crisis on Infinite Earths, I'm not sure if Travis has, that's why I recommend it. Start off with the trade paperback for Crisis on Infinite Earths. You can find it on Amazon, or even at Barnes & Noble, or stores like that, you'll be able to find yourself for, it'll probably run you about $18, something like that, the trade paperback for Crisis on Infinite Earths. That was back in the 80s, and that is the miniseries, 12-issue miniseries, more of a maxi series, that set up the brand new universe in DC Comics. It went from Infinite Earths to one, and it changed the DC universe forever. So obviously that's step one. Now from there, where do you go? Well, I'm going to recommend all of the Infinite Crisis miniseries, because obviously those were the ones that led up to Infinite Crisis. But before I do that, there's a trade paperback called Prelude to Infinite Crisis. And that one gets into individual issues of comics that led up to Infinite Crisis that might not be found elsewhere. Prelude to Infinite Crisis has issues from series such as Flash number 219, Wonder Woman number 214, Superman Secret Files, and other stories that are pretty key to Infinite Crisis. And the story that sort of started it all from Superman Batman, which ended with a couple simple words: there will be a crisis. Not going to mention who said it because that would give it away. But Prelude to Infinite Crisis is definitely one that I would pick up. Other trade paperbacks as part of the countdown to Infinite Crisis, obviously, there's Identity Crisis, which was the crisis previous to Infinite Crisis. Way too many crises out there. Crises. This crisis and that crisis and that crisis. Crises are pretty often in the DC Universe. Identity Crisis was written by Brad Meltzer, and that set up the stage for this next crisis that came before the Prelude and all that. The Prelude would actually bridge the gap between Identity Crisis and Infinite Crisis. So I'm going to give you a defined list here because I'm going all over the place. Crisis on Infinite Earths number 1. Identity Crisis number 2. Prelude to Infinite Crisis number 3. And then the miniseries. The OMAC Project. Day of Vengeance. Ran Thanagar War. And Villains United. That's pretty much the reading that I would recommend going up to Infinite Crisis. Also, very, very key issues of Wonder Woman and Superman. And that's a sacrifice storyline. Because without that storyline, a major plot point in the OMAC Project is going to end up incredibly, and I mean incredibly, missing. So you're not going to know what's going on. Which was kind of silly of DC, to say the least. It actually collects Countdown to Infinite Crisis, the OMAC Project 1-6, and Wonder Woman 219. So you are going to get some of that here with the OMAC Project. So you're going to get at least most of that. But I would also recommend getting those Superman issues because all of that is the lead-in. So there's a lot of stuff out there you can read that goes with Infinite Crisis. Now, I'm going to actually link to an Amazon listing that was put together by David Horici in Seattle, Washington. And this will be what I'll link to in the show notes. That'll give you a decent amount of reading material. Has more things on here than what I mentioned. Some things I would not have mentioned at all. But, you know what, whatever. I'll just link to you what the stories I would recommend. So definitely Crisis on Infinite Earths, Identity Crisis, Prelude to Infinite Crisis, Day of Vengeance, OMAC Project, Villains United, and the Ran Thanagar War. At least those stories will get you set up for Infinite Crisis. Because trust me, you want to know what's going on. It's a very interesting story, and I highly recommend getting the backstory in order for you to completely understand what's going on. Because if you don't understand, then what's the point of reading? And once again, thank you so much to Travis for the email. And any of you who want to email me can do so at speakgeekspeak at gmail.com. That's SPEAK GEEK SPEAK at gmail.com. And the phone number here is 718-951-4444. If you're ever interested in giving me a call, well, then you can certainly do that. So what I'm going to do for you guys right now, I happen to watch one of the most hilarious shorts that I have ever watched in my life this past week. Now, most of you guys probably haven't heard of this before. It's called Here Comes Dr. Tran. For those of you who were at Comic-Con and were at Spike and Mike's, I think it was 2 years back, possibly three, probably saw Here Comes Dr. Tran, and it's released on DVD, and they have a 60-second spot for it on their website for anybody to listen to, and I'm going to play that for you right now, so you'll be able to understand just why this show is so hilarious. It's about 8 minutes long in its entirety. And there's about 30 minutes worth of bonus features, including two Easter eggs, which are about 15 minutes more on the DVD. But it's certainly worth it for the price of like $12 or something like that. You're going to see why once I play this for you. So here it is. Here comes Dr. Tran.
He is a man of action. He is a man of honor.
Who is that?
He is a man of duty.
Are you talking to me?
Here comes Dr. Tran.
Where's that coming from?
This summer, everyone's favorite action hero returns.
What?
And his name is Dr. Tran.
Oh, I'm not a doctor.
He's a real doctor.
I'm not a doctor. I'm only 5 years old.
Not only is he a real doctor, he's a dashing special agent with a PhD in kicking your ass.
Please go away. I have to do chores.
He's a true American legend.
What? I've never been to America.
From America.
Father is coming home. Please let me finish breakfast.
When America needs saving, Dr. Tran delivers.
No, I don't.
I promise.
How did you find my village? Please stop talking.
So there you have it. There's the 1 minute and 26 second trailer for Dr. Tran. And it goes on from there, and it's even more hilarious from there. A lot of it too obscene to show on the air here on Brooklyn College Radio, so I'm glad that the clip ends there. But I got to watch this in its entirety this past week during my nice little Thanksgiving break. A buddy of mine, Chris, bought the box set and brought it over to my house so that my girlfriend and I could actually watch it. And I got to tell you, I have never laughed harder than I laughed at this piece. Now, mind you, I laugh at everything, but this was absolutely fantastic. All you nerds out there, all you geeks out there are going to absolutely love it. And the website's actually sort of fun, too. And I'm in the process of trying to get the creator of Dr. Tran on the show at some point, and I hope that I'll be able to get him eventually. But there's even a Flash toy on the site, and here, I'll just play a couple.
I'm only 5 years old. Oh, another lie! Oh, what's happening now? What's happening to my world?
All right, yeah, you get the idea. But there's a Flash toy on the site that you get to play around with if you want to, and it has a mailing list, so you'll be able to be updated on other Beyond Grandpa productions. And, it's Beyond Grandpa in association with Long Sausage Productions. Lone Sausage Productions. And absolutely hilarious. And all you guys out there who love the funny definitely need to check out Here Comes Dr. Trent. Because as I said, my friends were afraid I was going to collapse on the floor. I was laughing so hard at this. Honestly, I mean, it was just, wow. I can't even put it into words. Just, you ever have a little kid and you try and tell them something like they're a bird and they won't believe you? Like, no, I'm not a bird. Stop it. I'm not a bird. Same sort of concept here. Here's a little kid that's trying to be convinced that he's a doctor. Dr. Tran. So you can sort of see why this is just so funny. And also at the site, they have a just premiered Roy Burrito's 60-second spot available on the site. So I'll have the link in the show notes to go to beyondgrandpa.com. And as I said, I'm going to try and get the creator on the site. I had a short email correspondence with him a couple weeks back. And after one email, he hadn't gotten back to me recently. But hopefully he will indeed get back to me and I'll be able to have him on. But trust me, Dr. Tran is action. And certainly worth getting a look. If there's one thing that gamers have to worry about, it's censorship. Because a lot of games out there are pretty vile. I mean, come on, admit it. Admit it, folks. A lot of the games out there are unsuitable for children. No matter how much we want to deny it, it sort of is true. I mean, there's some states now that have adopted laws stating that no minors can pick up games that are rated mature. Unless they're over legal age to buy them, which I believe is 17 in most states, 18 in others. And MediaWise Research has just come out with a list of the best and worst games for children and teens. And this report card lists some games on there that are probably the most fun, and that's kind of frightening. But I'll give you the list here. I'll give you the top 12, and that'll give you the games that they do recommend for teens. And there are some good games on there as well. See, this isn't one of those biased lists that is, you know, by the evangelical Christians that go out there and say, oh, no, this game is terrible because it has homosexuals in it, you know, that sort of thing. This is the sort of list that actually goes in there and tries to put games as they are, you know? And here's the report card that it has listed. The number one worst game that parents need to be alerted for, they say, is Far Cry. Rated M for mature. Says so right there on the box. You can understand that. Fear would be number two. Number three, get ready for it. Warriors, come out and play. Yeah, Warriors is number three on that list. Number four, one of the best soundtracks in games. Bands like Cake and Death Cab for Cutie and Ben Queller and The Flaming Lips all went out there and recorded tracks for this game. Stubbs the Zombie and Rebel Without a Pulse. It's an Xbox game, and that's also rated M for mature, and that's number four on the list parents should have their kids avoid. Number five, no shock here, True Crime, New York City. Blitz the League number 6, which I've talked about on my other show, Sporting Goods. And Blitz the League looks like a lot of fun. Blitz the League is by the same guy who did Playmakers for ESPN. But yeah, there's plenty of vulgar violence in it, and I can certainly understand why they would not want children and teens to play it. So, all right, acceptable. Grand Theft Auto, Liberty City Stories, again, understandable. God of War, number 8, plenty of violence in that one, even some graphic sex scenes, so there you go. Doom 3, number 9, that's sort of drawing the line for me, because Doom, you're fighting a whole bunch of monsters and not really humans. So, I don't know. See, for some reason, that's different to me. Like, if you're shooting humans, to me, that's a little worse than shooting monsters. And I guess that's why it's number 9 on their list. Because, well, monsters aren't people. Sure, the Doom people are just mutated people. Whatever. I'm not going to get into it. Number 10, Urban Reign, which I had not heard of, so I wouldn't be able to give you that. Although, it's funny, that's the only game on this list that's actually rated T for teen, as opposed to rated M for mature. So teens technically can go out and buy this game, which is interesting. That's number 10 on the list. Conquer, Live and Reloaded, you don't even need to mention that. That is certainly supposed to be on that list. And number 12, Resident Evil 4, zombies and all that stuff. And that's their list of the top 12 games. I wonder why it's the top 12. I guess they just had so many in there that they had to mention them. Now, the games they say are recommended, and see, this is where you can tell that this is a pretty fair list, I'd say. Number 1 is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which, obviously, if it was one of those evangelical Christian sites, that would have to be rated M, or rated not good for kids, because, oh no, the witches are everywhere, blah, 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 blah. Ah, come on, it's freaking Harry Potter, for God's sakes. Number 2, we have The Incredibles with Rise of the Underminer. And The Incredibles was so much fun, and I absolutely love that movie, and will continue to love that movie for a long time. And the game was done pretty well also, so I can understand that. Peter Jackson's King Kong is actually on this list. Recommended for children and teens. King Kong, interesting. I'm sort of surprised to see that there. Legends of Zelda, number 4. The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is number 5. Sly 3, Honor Amongst Thieves is number 6. We Love Katamari, number 7. Sid Meier's Pirates is number 8. Dance Dance Revolution Ultra Mix 3. And obviously, they got to put a Dance Dance Revolution on there, because what's so bad about dancing, you know? Nothing. Everybody loves to dance, for God's sake. So you got to put that on the list. And number 10, a game that my cousins have been enjoying for years now, and certainly a lot of fun, Backyard Baseball 2005. So I would pretty much say that this list is pretty fair. I mean, not too many glaring omissions on either of those lists. And these are all good games in their own right. But there are some games on there that, yeah, just you don't want your 10-year-old playing. I mean, you don't want your 10-year-old playing Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. You just don't. I like Grand Theft Auto. Well, actually, technically, I don't really like Grand Theft Auto. I like the Warriors, but eh. But I know what it is. I'm not pretending that it's anything else. And this list is not pretending that either. It's getting out there and trying to show what these games are and letting parents know that they should avoid them. Now, going on the other side of things, to the not so generous side of things, Hillary Clinton, who is a senator here in New York, Hillary Clinton, obviously Bill Clinton's wife, is trying to introduce a Family Entertainment Protection Act to Senate. Family Entertainment Protection Act. It's divided into 5 main areas. Prohibition of selling mature and adult-only video games to minors. That I will certainly agree with. Annual analysis of the rating system. Yeah, I can understand that, I guess, but the rating system seems to be working pretty well so far. Number 3 would be authority for the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, to investigate misleading ratings. Huh. See, that's sort of interesting there, because what exactly is a misleading rating? You know, who determines whether it's misleading or not? If you leave it up to the FTC, they're certainly going to be going out there and probably will make sure that every single name with anything having to do with Rockstar will be rated M, even if it's not too graphic. I have a feeling. So that might be a little too much agenda-driven for me. Number four, authority to register complaints. The bill requires the Bureau of Consumer Protection, BCP, of the FTC to ensure that consumers can file complaints if they find content to be misleading. Okay, I could see that. And the annual retailer audit. The bill authorizes the FTC to conduct an annual random audit of retailers, sometimes referred to as a secret shopper survey, to determine how easy it is for young people to purchase mature and adult-only games. So, the bill certainly has its merits. I can certainly understand why people would want it, but it might be going a bit too far. Because with a bill like this, you can certainly abuse things. Because the next step from relegating video games like this is to completely ban particular games. To me, at least, that's the next step. I could be over-exaggerating here, but that's really the way it feels to me. And to ban games would be absolutely insane. I mean, it's one thing to give it a rating. And the rating system I completely agree with, don't get me wrong. But when you give ultimate power to an organization, the FTC, you're looking for trouble. You really are. Because anything can be interpreted wrong. And anything can start an argument that'll last for years. This argument's already begun. Hillary Clinton wants it done. She wants it done by the time she's out of office. Chances are she will be reelected in one form or another. She might even run for president for all we know. But this is what she wants. Will she get it? Possibly. But I'm wondering if there's actually a point to all this. Because like I said, chances are a commission such as this could very well end up abusing instead of using, which is always a problem. It's wind-up time here on GeekSpeak, where I switch over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things, because I'm a sports nut, I'm a registered sports nut, and a regular old nut, too. But let's not get into that. So the sports that I need to talk this week, I'm going to split it between two things. First off, the New York Giants. The New York Giants are currently tied for first place in the NFC East in football. But they don't deserve to be there right now. Not after the game they played this past week. 16 penalties in that game. 16 false start penalties in that game. When you have that many false start penalties, that is not professional football. That is Bush League. That is Sandlot. That is not something you want to see from the NFL. And certainly not what you want to see from a first place team. If the New York Giants come out this week against the Dallas Cowboys in a very important game, because both teams are tied for first right now, if they go out there and they do not play their best, the season's done. That's it. Pack it in early, because you're not going to see anything else. The New York Giants have played great and they played terrible. They need great this week. Because if they don't get great, then that's going to prove a lot to most of New York and to the NFL that they're good, but just not good enough to make it in this world. Better luck next year. That's what they'll be saying if they lose this week. Now, on the baseball side, the New York Mets are contenders. I never thought I'd say that. They got Wagner. And they got Delgado. And that is going to prove to be majorly beneficial to the New York Mets this year. They might even have a better team right now than the Yankees for the first time. And the Yankees, with Bubba Crosby out there in center field, are going to be hoping that things work out for the best. But the Mets have a genuine chance for the first time in a long time. And good for them, in my opinion. I might be a Yankee fan, but I respect the Mets for what they are. And for the first time in years, they can call themselves the genuine baseball team. They can call themselves on par with everybody else. Yes, indeed. Will they make any other moves? Will they possibly get Manny Ramirez? We won't know until the season starts. But they're certainly off to a good start here. They got a new closer. They got a real closer for the first time in years. And New York might be chanting, "Let's go Mets," sometime in the near future. And I say, it's about time we get some competition back in New York. Because for years, it was just the Yankees. And that's boring. Let's get things a little more split, shall we? That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every single Monday here on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, you can listen to me, Ian Levenstein, with Jason Green and Joey and Dave, talking sports here on the air, Mondays from 2 to 3. The email address here at GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. The forums, which are kind of dead right now, so I'd like to see at least some activity on there, hopefully sometime soon, is at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. And I would like to also extend a major thank you out to all my listeners. I've officially broken the 80 mark on FeedBurner. So I'm at least getting some listeners, which is certainly better than when I started out here. So major thanks to everybody who's been subscribing. And I hope that trend continues in the future. And I hope you guys enjoy what you hear. I'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And you'll be hearing more out of this nerd, out of this geek, out of this dweeb. All right, fine. I'm just a geek. Next time around. So once again, I am Ian Levenstein. And this has been Geek Speak on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web, brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. So until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I'll see you next week. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.